International Broadcasting lives on 5085. The Big One, WTWW.
Please stand by as we get ready to launch another episode of this Reality Radio Cafe Cast with your host and my husband, Denny J, K5DCC.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, lift off.
Now grab your glass and get ready to fill it up with some radio on the rocks.
Vehicle's pitching downrange.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're starting really early this morning. I just got here and got my cup of coffee.
You know, I get up at about 7 and I feed the dogs. And I come down to see if my computer still works. And of course, my brand new Dell does not work. It's going back to the factory for a new motherboard.
You see, it's a brand new Dell?
Yeah, just got it. I decided, you know, the problem, you know, I started out, I was going to build a computer. And I'm convinced that having a Windows computer if you're a ham radio operator is a very good thing to have.
Yeah.
So I started out to build one, and I've built them before back through the years. The last one I built was circa 2004, however. And that machine won't boot anymore for one reason or another. And so Andre advised me on some parts, an AMD microprocessor and motherboard and so forth. And you can't get the parts. You can still get CPUs that are for gaming that, you know, you can pay up to $800 for just the CPU.
Wow.
And you know, the lowest cost I could build one was about the same price that I could go to Costco and get a brand new Dell with a 2-year warranty.
Hmm.
And that was only like a couple $100 more than I could get a used Windows computer that who knows when the hard drive would go out and so forth. So, yeah, I got a brand new Dell. And the only issue, and actually, I have been kind of amazed with Windows 10. It's not that bad, actually. I mean,
yeah,
they finally managed to copy enough from the Mac world that they've got a decent
wait a minute. I think Mac copies a lot from PCs, don't they, from Windows sometimes?
Oh no, it was Mac that first had the most
driven interface.
Yeah. And then Windows copied it eventually. So and Mac copied it from Xerox. So Xerox, apparently Steve Jobs went to Xerox by invitation and they showed him something that had this mouse-like device and this visual interface, and they had decided not to pursue it. They thought it would never be viable, and Steve Jobs came away with that thinking, oh, yes, it is.
Yeah. Good morning, Daniel. Welcome home. Looks like you guys had a great trip.
Good morning, America. Yes, wonderful trip, except for leaky mattresses.
Yeah, that mattress, that picture of you laying on that mattress looked like heaven. With all the screens unzipped and the breeze blowing through, and
yeah, it is very comfortable when it's blown up. But for 2 nights running, I got this sinking feeling. If you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Well, sounds like you're getting your car washed, huh?
Yes, I got 1, 2, 3 ladies working on it at the moment.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll let you hang out with the ladies for a while.
So, okay, I'll be listening on the side.
So, I'm curious. as to why you get your car washed, because as soon as you drive away, it's going to start collecting dirt again. Why don't you just leave it?
It's just that we're just coming back from a long camping trip, and it's certainly collected enough dust, and the car was looking terrible inside and out. So I just thought, well, let me have it. In fact, it was direct orders from my chief executive officer. I had no choice in the matter.
Well, I have a BMW motorcycle that's a dual sport, and I enjoy riding it so much that I don't take the time to wash it, because that model, you know, if you don't have dirt on that model, it means you're not riding.
Yeah, right.
But the Harley riders, on the other hand, tend to, as soon as they pull into a motel, they start cleaning every speck of dust off their bikes.
Yeah, they got that special spray on thing that creates a nice smooth finish to it. I've done that on my Goldwing.
What is it? PhotoFlow, or what are they using?
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that, I guess. Anyway, yesterday morning, I don't know if you heard the podcast from yesterday. Daniel checked in from the bathroom at the campground. You could hear the echoing in the background. And then he said he didn't sleep very well. He slept on the floor, and I thought, oh, no, not in the bathroom. he forgot his mattress pad or something. But
oh, you're bringing back bad memories of when, yeah. I was a caretaker at a Presbyterian church camp. And one of my jobs, actually, there was another caretaker that was a buddy of mine, and we used to flip a coin to see who would do the nasty jobs. And
yeah,
one time I got the job of spreading lime in the latrines. So yeah. It was just awful.
So, Daniel, were there many others there with you camping? I didn't see a lot of action.
It was, yes, there was actually, the campsite was pretty much full, but not totally full. It was very quiet, well organized. So, yeah, it was a very nice campsite.
Oh, very good. Well, good morning, everybody. Pull up a chair. We're just sitting around the table here. I got my coffee. It is Sunday, April 11th, and we're going to have a sunny, warm day today. It's going to be in the upper 70s. Did you get some of that weather we had go through here yesterday? Did it make it all the way up to Indianapolis?
Oh, yeah. It rained all day yesterday. Light rain. However, you sounded like you're sort of starting the cast, and I note that I don't see any red dot up there.
Oh, yeah. There's a red dot. I've been recording since I started.
Why don't I see the red dot?
Because I don't want you to think you're being recorded. That way you can be more candid.
Oh, now I know the secret. I will always be candid.
Yeah, you never know with me around. Anyway, you had a pretty big day yesterday, didn't you?
I did. I have been studying for a month or so for the amateur extra exam using, what is it, HamTest Online? Is it? Helpful guide, and there are 50 questions, some of them very, very technical.
And oh, there he goes, interrupting you again.
Yep.
One moment. Disconnect. I had my dude star running here in the background.
Anyway, out of 50 questions, I got 49 correct. And
congratulations.
There was one question that I went back and pondered it for a few minutes, and I thought, oh well, I either pass or I don't, and I just turned in the exam. The problem was, I turned it in and I stood at the table, and the guy that I turned it into said, you can't watch me. Apparently you're not supposed to watch them grade it. I wonder why. Some people must freak out. At any rate, I returned to my table, which I had my back to the grader, and I couldn't hear them because I'm hard of hearing, and it took forever. And finally, the person in charge came up and said, "Well, congratulations, you only missed one. Did they tell you?" And I said, "No, they didn't tell me." So I'm sitting there with my back to these people for about 10 minutes, and I didn't know whether I'd passed or not. It was agonizing.
Well, it doesn't sound like a very friendly club.
Well, it is, I think. I've only been to a couple of club meetings so far. I just joined this club, and they're pretty affable. They're meeting by Zoom, so... The really fun part was the examiners are required to check a picture form of ID, such as a driver's license or passport or something. And, of course, they also require the wearing of a mask. So these guys are looking at my driver's license and looking at me, and they're saying, "Well, I think he has the same eyes." And then my driver's license shows me with wearing a beard, and the beard is sticking out the sides of the mask. And I said, "Yeah, the problem with that is all of us old guys with beards look alike."
Yeah. Oh, my.
Anyway, well, it was fun. I was in and out fairly quickly. I think I went over all my questions twice. And I was done in 30 minutes.
Very good. Well, I knew it'd be a breeze for you. But when you think about 50 questions, that doesn't seem like a lot. But how many are in the question pool?
Over 700.
Yeah. It takes a bit of work.
Yeah, you can't really. It's at least older people can't really memorize that. I really tried to understand these questions so that I could figure them out, you know, if I got one I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah. It's nice that all the questions that involve math, they're all there. I mean, it's the same answer. You don't actually have to use the math to come up with an answer. I basically memorized a lot of stuff, and I tried to understand as much as I could. But
when I went through the study questions, I found my old HP calculator and got some batteries for it. Hadn't used it in a very long time. The calculator was useful for me before the age of microcomputers, and once I had a spreadsheet available, the calculator became sort of irrelevant in my work. And so I hauled it out and relearned reverse Polish notation, which is what HP uses. And
Polish notation, what is that?
Well, it's incredible. You don't know about RPN? Reverse Polish notation?
I guess I've never had it explained to me, no.
Well, HP uses it in their calculators. And one time when I was teaching a class that had 400 students, as you can imagine, adding up various assignments and their scores over the semester for a final grade gets to be, well, fairly onerous. It takes a lot of key punches on a calculator. So I had an algebraic calculator at the time, and I'd heard about these HP calculators with their reverse Polish notation, and I read about it a little bit, and I thought, well, this is going to save me keystrokes. So I got one. So the way it works is on an RPN calculator, there is no equals sign. Think about that. There is no equals sign. You never have to hit equals. So, for example, if I was going to add 5 and 2, I would hit the 5 button and I would hit enter. And then I would hit the 2 button and hit times, and there's the answer. So I counted up the keystrokes that I saved in my class of 400 by buying that HP calculator, and it was something like I'd saved 12,000 keystrokes. So,
well, maybe there's no equals because it's really dealing with the delta. It's just approximation, so it really doesn't equal.
No, it's just that the way it works is it's more efficient. It's just plain more efficient. And so I actually learned all those formulas. And I could calculate all this stuff by formula, and I purposely didn't memorize the answers, so I had to calculate it every time. And I think I got one question on the exam that involved math. I was disappointed. I was prepared. I wanted 20 questions with math.
Speaking of math, I'm just looking at the numbers of plays on our podcast. You know, I think we have an elite group of listeners. It's like a pyramid. You know, the base of it is where all the numbers are. That's where all the big guys have thousands and thousands of listeners. Yeah. We're up here at the top. We've had, on average, looks like about 60 listeners, 60 plays, according to Anchor. In fact, there's one back last Saturday. We had 90 on it already. But we have an elite group of listeners. I want to thank them all for their faithfulness and following our dribble every day.
Well, I'd have to question their sanity.
Yeah. Well, my wife says, is there any way of finding out if they actually listen to the whole thing? They may just skip through it to listen to the what if question, and the rest of it they just let go by the wayside.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but I don't know how accurate this is, if it's just on Anchor or if it's total. I would imagine it's got to be total, so we're climbing the ladder.
Well, that would be something you have to figure out, because you ought to keep a chart so that as the over time, as the line approaches zero, we know it's time to quit recording.
Well, probably 10 of those are you listening to it over and over again because you like the sound of your voice. I doubt that. You probably didn't even listen to yesterday's, did you?
No. Well, I was kind of busy yesterday because you've been complaining about the microphone in my headset. And so I went to Best Buy in pursuit of a new headset. Oh my gosh. there must be somewhere between 50 and 70 different models of headsets.
Wow.
And so I wandered around the store for a while, and conveniently they have store models and you can put them on your head. And I wear hearing aids, and the old headset I was using, that you complained about the microphone, that actually, after an hour or so, hurt my ears and head because the ear cups weren't quite large enough. And most of the ones in Best Buy actually were very comfortable. And I finally settled on a headset because I wondered if the problem with my new Windows computer not recognizing the microphone was actually a problem with the headset I had. So I got my wife's gaming headset, a Sennheiser, and tested that. And no, the computer didn't recognize that either. So that computer is going back. It's under warranty. It's going back for a replacement of the motherboard.
Hmm.
The modern, one of the things I learned by reading is that modern computers, jack on the front panel, which you think is maybe just for headphones. No, not necessarily. You can plug in a headset with a microphone and they should recognize the microphone. So TRRS 3.5 millimeter jack put into what you think is a headphone jack will actually recognize the microphone as well, but my particular brand new computer did not.
Well, I've got two jacks in the front, one for mic and one for headset.
Yeah, that's the old technology that you're using.
No, wait, this computer's only about 3 years old, I think.
That's old.
That's old. Man, what does it say about us?
Well, we're old too. I had a shock when I retired, because when I was teaching at the university policy was every faculty and staff member would have a new computer on a 3-year cycle. So we always had relatively new technology. And when I retired, you know, I have to pay for that stuff myself. So I'm tending to keep my technology 7 or 8 years at least.
Well, there's a lot of good old technology out there yet.
Well, I suppose down there in Arkansas, you still have probably those telephones that have the crank on the side and you have to stand up to it and talk into it.
Now, we use those for gaming, where we have people sit in a circle and hold hands. And then we, you know, turn the crank and watch them all jump.
So you're familiar, I guess. You're old enough. You've seen those phones, right? I've actually used them.
Oh, yeah.
So when the modern telephone came into being, which was a headset that rested in a cradle, and you still had to pick up the phone and tell the operator what connection you wanted, and they'd move wires around at the central station. Mm-hmm. My best buddy was Canton 353. So I'd call up and I'd just say 353, and somebody would pull plugs and put it in somewhere else, and I'd be talking to my buddy. Well, those telephones with the crank on the side and wooden box, they quickly became obsolete. They went on the surplus market. And I got one of those. I call them a generator. The other end of that crank was just a coil of wire that turned inside a magnet, fairly big magnet. Mm-hmm. And in the country, everybody was on a party line. And so you'd run the crank just like Morse code. You'd run it long and short, and everybody up and down the party line had their own particular combination of long and short rings, and they'd know when to go to their phone and pick it up. Of course, the nosy neighbors on up and down the line could also pick it up and listen to some conversation that wasn't meant for them. At any rate, I got one of these cranks, the coil inside a magnet, and it, as hams, we know that when you turn a coil inside a magnet, you're going to produce electricity. And for a while, I used it in my fishing. I had a couple 8-foot ground rods in a worm bed that I had in my parents' backyard.
I can see this.
And we had a park across the street with a fishing pond in it. And so when I wanted to go fishing, I'd take my telephone generator out there and hook one terminal to one ground rod and another one to the other ground rod and start cranking the crank, and up would come the worms. And I'd grab a handful of worms and go across the street and fish. So that was one use I found for it. But I was a Boy Scout at the time, and we had a camporee at Camp Llewellyn in southeast Missouri, which is not far from you, by the way, just kind of across the state. And so for some reason, I packed that telephone generator in my camping equipment. I don't know why. It was heavy. And, you know, it's, but I had it along with my sleeping bag and everything else. And my best buddy and I were tenting together, and we pitched our tent right next to a barbed wire fence. And it had been raining, so the ground was damp. And all the tents were on one side of the barbed wire fence, and some of the boys were playing softball on the other side of the barbed wire fence in a field that was there. And so we pitched our tent, and we're figuring out, well, what are we going to do now? And I thought, well, I think I have a use for that telephone generator that I brought with me. So
here goes the prankster.
Yep. I took one of those terminals, and I took a wire and wrapped it around the topped wire of that barbed wire fence. And I took the other one, stuck it right in the wet ground. And I'm kind of peering out the crack in my tent flaps. And here comes a boy who's going to go play softball. So like all boys crossing a barbed wire fence, you approach the wire between the post and put your hands and force the top wire down a little bit so you can swing your leg over. So I waited till his leg was partway over, and I gave him a little power assist. And he just flew through the air. And then he's yelling at the other boys, well, this is an electric fence. Of course, they'd all crossed it without issue. And they said, no, it's not. And he would come back to that fence, and he would just ever so gently touch his finger to that wire. And of course, nothing would happen. So he began to question his own sanity. You know, did I get shocked or did I not get shocked? So I'm patient. I've always been known for patience. And so I just sat there watching through my tent flap until he got tired of playing softball. And when he was coming back across to the tent area, I gave him another power assist. He never knew what happened.
You are something else. I think I've got my title for today's podcast. I don't know if you've noticed the creativity in my titles.
I have.
Based on the conversation, like to GMRS and beyond, slow down, you eat too fast. How many cats is too many? I think I'm going to call this one Cranking for Worms.
Well, that's not even the what if.
I know it, but you know, there's something out of our conversation over the period of an hour. There's always one thought that just stands out among the rest, you know. And I could just picture that. There you are, cranking, and the worms are jumping out of the ground, just like those guys are jumping off that wire.
Well, I think that is, if I recall, when you crank that telephone generator, it's low voltage but high amperage. So it does give you quite a shock. Doesn't come close to killing you. I never thought I would actually kill the kid.
Right. Well, haven't you ever done that, though, where you've had a circle of people all holding hands, and one holds one wire and the other end of it holds the other wire, and you crank that thing and see who is the first one to let go?
I haven't ever done
that. Because it goes through the whole circle. We'd have 20, 25 kids all holding hands, and they would, at the end of the line, they would be holding one end of those wires, and you'd crank like crazy, and they would just be like you did in the video Cafe Cast yesterday, shaking and twitching. they would hang on for dear life, and all of a sudden, they'd throw their hand up in the air, couldn't take it anymore.
Oh,
that's a fun game.
You
very, very stimulating.
I think you're just as odd as I am.
Probably. Well, what's the what if question today?
Oh,
we'll make this a shorter episode.
All right. So this is somewhat macabre. This article came up. Let me find the article. This was in something called Interesting Engineering, which I get in my email every day. And there's a company called MyHeritage that has what they call a deep nostalgia tool, which reanimates the dead with AI-driven technology. And apparently you can send in a photo to their website and it will animate the photo. So if you have a photo of a dead ancestor, you can send it into this website, and using their technology, they can animate that still photograph, produce a little video. And more than 72 million photo animations were created. So initially, however, these somewhat morbid remembrances happened, these 72 million animations happened despite only offering 10 different options in terms of the animation, like a smile, for example. However, this company, Deep Nostalgia, or MyHeritage is the company, this company just doubled the number of unique movements you can apply to photos of deceased ancestors, including blowing a kiss, dancing to a modern groove, etc. So the what if questions, the what if question of the day is, what if we could bring back our dead ancestors to talk to us, or to smile at us, or to give an approving nod? Is that something that we should do?
It kind of reminds me of Jib Jab.
Yes.
You know what Jib Jab is, right?
Mm-hmm. I do. In fact, I've got, if it's still in mine, I copied something.
I was losing my connection again. I dropped for 15, 20 seconds here. But anyway, it reminds me of Jib Jab, the email card thing, you know, where you can put your face on these animated dancers or people to perform for
you. Yep.
They sing and dance, you know.
That's right. Well, and MyHeritage is not the only company in this effort. Guess who else is doing it? Microsoft. Microsoft recently patented a digital human simulation technology, and it's touted as an interactive living memorial. Could make old voicemails of dead relatives go off script, verbally turning the monologue to address you directly.
Weird. Creepy.
So, what do you think? Do you want to bring back your dead ancestors and have them talk to you, or have them blow a kiss to you, or have them nod approvingly to you? What do you think?
Well, if I could put the words in their mouth, I think we all long for the approval of our family members and our dads in particular. And I don't think many of us had that opportunity. My dad died way too young, and I always felt like he was disappointed in me. He was a very reserved man, not very affectionate. I don't remember any point in time where he told me he loved me. And I think that's important for fathers to do that with their children, to reaffirm them and let them know that they love them. We've done that with our kids, and it's passed down the line. Our kids are all well-adjusted. They all are well-loved. My dad was a good dad. He was a hard worker. He provided for us. It would be kind of neat to actually have an opportunity to hear him tell me how proud he is of me and how much he loved me. I never had that.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I sort of idolized my dad, but he was somewhat reserved as well. But Yeah, it was after he passed, I had a very difficult thing getting rid of any of the things I saved from his house. It was like 20, 25 years before I could get rid of some of that stuff, which nobody else in the family wanted. And I still have, you know, a couple of post-hole diggers in my garage. and I live in a suburb, but there is very little need for a post-hole digger.
That sounds like you and your dad were very close.
Yeah, we were as close as you can be. My mother and dad were in their 40s when they had me. So they were always like there was almost like a two-generation gap, and that was somewhat difficult. But yeah, they really supported me. Between the two of them, they made me what I am today. That's for sure. Well, with the input of my wife too. I think our spouses help make the men we are.
Yeah. Well, the role of a father is very important and influential in a person's life. We were just visiting with our granddaughter, who's off to college now. She came home for the weekend. We were down at our son's place for dinner Friday night for Shabbat. And asked her what she's learned this week. And she said, you know, I'm learning not to worry about what people think of me. She's been she's more reserved and very shy, very introspective. And she's coming out of her shell now that she's out on her own. And that was a realization to her. I think I'm realizing that it's not important what other people think of me.
That is.
And I know that my struggle was that big time. I mean, I could have 1,000 friends, and if one person was critical of me, it would destroy me. It's kind of interesting. But my wife would always say, what do you care? I love you. Your family loves you. Just, you know, forget it. But I think it's part of that growing up, being bullied as a kid. You know, I didn't have many friends growing up until I literally grew up 8 inches in 1 year. But prior to that, you know, I was the toy that the bullies loved to play with and kick around and chase me home from school. And I mean, it was those formative years that really kind of made me who I am. And not having a dad that was that involved. I mean, he was a good man, but he was an only child, and he figured his role was to provide for the family. And he had a business at home too. So he'd come home and he'd work till 10 o'clock at night. And his goal was to retire early, which he did. I mean, the day he was going to retire and meet with his financial advisor to make sure he had what he needed, he dropped dead of a heart attack, all for nothing. And so from that lesson, I decided, well, I'm taking advantage of today. And we did whatever we could with our kids, camping, hiking, playing, you know, spent a lot of time with them. And they grew up with a lot of good memories and wanted to have their family the same way. They all got married early, couldn't wait to have kids, you know. So the relationship we have with our fathers is critical, I think, to forming us.
My father taught me photography, which is essentially what my career was, teaching photojournalism. So, yeah, I owe him my career.
Wow. Very good. So, Daniel, you're out there quietly listening. What about your father? Did you have an influential father in your life? And you grew up in a big family, so it might have been a little tougher.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. I can relate to you very much, Denny, because my father was a good man, upright, hardworking. He provided for his family, but he wasn't very affectionate. And not once did he actually tell me, I love you, but he showed other ways. I remember in 1988, when I went overseas to visit my sister in France, he gave me the biggest hug. And I think he must have known we wouldn't be seeing each other again. And that's the last I saw him. I was in France when his funeral was. But I was very small, Mom. And like you, I was also bullied in at church and at school. I hated school with a passion because I was very small. And due to my medical condition, I looked very youthful and did not have any facial hairs until my 40s. And they used to tease me and, you know, I think I was a girl, and so I can so relate to whatever you say there, Denny. So very much in that same kind of a situation. Ever.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And I think we can fill in some of those gaps, even in our hobby. We can value each other. This is all part of my vision of having a place where people learn to listen, acknowledge, and share. Seems like a lot of people are too quick to talk all the time. You know, you can tell your good friends. Your good friends are the ones that listen to you. I mean, and really identify with what you're saying. But there's a lot of people that are friends that, you know, when they're gone, it's like, wow, I'm glad that's over with. All they did is talk about themselves. They didn't really care about me at all, you know. And I think it's the listening and acknowledging and sharing, having that give and take is what makes a meaningful relationship, and we find value in that. So I hope that what we're doing in the cafe is accomplishing that, regardless of your backgrounds. And Jim and I are, I think, a testimony to this. We are different. We come from different perspectives and slightly different worldviews maybe, but, you know, we're growing to really appreciate one another in those differences. And, you know, for me, Jim, it's your kindness. You're so thoughtful and so kind, and you listen so well. I really appreciate our relationship and look forward to it continuing here live in the cafe.
Well, I do too. I mean, I'm really enjoying this, and I have friends of all political persuasions and all walks of life, and you know, I enjoy diversity, I guess I would say. But I want to add just a comment back on the central question. If you think about it, the invention of photography way back in the 1830s or so with the daguerreotype, people remember, or photography was is a really prime source of remembering your dead relatives. I have pictures of my mother on my piano because she made it possible for me to learn how to play the piano. And I have my dad's Argus 33 camera on the other side of my piano. And I also have my dad's pocket watch hanging from a little display on my piano. So when I sit down to play, I look at those things, those artifacts, and I remember. I remember all the times we had when I was growing up and when I was an adult and so forth. So a photograph keys memories. And before the photograph, I suppose we used drawings to do those things or paintings. But we've always had a way of trying to remember the people in our lives. So this artificial intelligence way of adding gestures to a still photograph and making a movie out of it, that's just another way of doing it. However, I wouldn't use that. If that was available to me, and it is, I guess I could send in a picture of my parents to these websites and have them animated in some way. But I would know intellectually that it's artificial. It's not real. And I spent my life as a journalism professor. And one tenet of journalism is to seek the truth and report it. Mm-hmm. Seek the truth and report it. So knowing that this animation is totally artificial would totally turn me off. I'd much rather just look at a still photograph and not some animated artificial artifact of my memory. So that's my take on it.
Well, you're absolutely right. Pictures do reinforce our memories. In fact, when we talk to our children about the past, the things that come to their minds vividly are things that we have, you know, expressed to them in pictures or videos. We were big at doing video when it came out, and we would record our hikes, our camping trips, events, birthdays, whatever. And when we talk about it, I remember that. There must have been a picture or video about that. But things that we didn't record in pictures, they're a lot foggier. They don't remember the details as well. So you're right. Photography, and that's a big tool for helping us remember the past.
One very useful tool. Sometimes young people want to record, particularly their grandparents' reminiscence of their lives.
Yep.
And they'll approach the grandparent with a tape recorder or a video camera.
We've done that.
And say, Granny, I'd like to learn what it was like when you were a little girl. And the grandmother will say, oh, I can't remember that. And then, but the trick is to pull out the family photo album and put it in grandma's lap. And as she opens it up, and then she starts talking because the photos key memories.
Yeah. We did that with our grandmother, and it was very interesting, her reaction. Why would you be interested in my story?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to it, you know? They were very private. They didn't share that stuff with people. And when we just forced her, no, we want to know. We want to know. Tell us what it was like when you moved here from the old country or whatever. And it was hard for them to open up. They weren't used to that. So in a sense, it's kind of fitting with my title for today, cranking up the worm. Sometimes we need to turn that crank, throw the charge in the ground, and get those memories stirred up. And I guess maybe photos and videos are contributing to that. Now, even my Cafe Cast, I've been doing this for 2 years now. I once in a while will go back and listen to one of the old ones. You know, even though it's old, it's not like news. I mean, yesterday's news, nobody's interested in that. They're wanting right now immediate news. But people's stories, they live forever. And so I can go back and listen to any of those. And it's just as relevant today as it was then, just as impactful. And when new people come in and listen to that story, things are stirred up within them. You know, it's cranking up the worms. It's like, you know, this sounds like a fun hobby. Maybe I could do this. And so that's really one of the main reasons behind why I record these things. It's my way of helping to build interest, pique people's curiosity, crank up the worms.
Well, I'm glad I provided the title for today.
Yeah, good job. Well, I guess we better move on. We got to get ready for church here. It's going to be a beautiful day. I might want to take the bike out for a ride this afternoon. It's going to be in the upper 70s and clear and sunny. Perfect day for riding. I wish you were close and had your bike. We'd go cruising.
Oh, yeah. It'd be fun. Well,
are you still selling yours?
I am. I've decided it's time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know when you know.
Well, I'm sure there would be years of good riding ahead, but as I age, it's already a risk. When you get on a motorcycle, you're at much more risk than you when you get in a car. And as you age, that risk increases. So I'm trying to pull out of it while I'm still healthy and have had only two motorcycle accidents.
Oh, wow. I haven't had any yet, thankfully. Well, that's a good thing that you've got ham radio as a hobby, and it's no wonder that ham radio is full of old people. It's full of old people who can't get out and ride motorcycle anymore.
Yes.
But we've got young, bright guys like Logan. Man, he did a fantastic job yesterday. What a great communicator. He's got a bright future ahead of him. I just know that. So anyway, thanks, everybody, for joining us. God bless you all. We'll catch you again tomorrow morning here.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Daniel. We'll see you again tomorrow morning here in the cafe, 73 from the beautiful Ozarks of Northwest Arkansas.
73.
Hi, this is Extra Class Amateur Radio Operator, K5DCC. I just upgraded to my Extra Class last year. You know how I did it? I used HamTest Online. Did you know that HamTest Online is the top-rated study program on eham.net? 97% of reviewers gave them 5 stars. They have more 5-star user reviews than all other study methods combined, and success is guaranteed. If you fail the amateur radio license exam, they will refund your subscription. It's a no-brainer. You pass the exam or get a full refund. Try it for yourself at hamtestonline.com. Hello, cafeers. Denny J here in the beautiful Ozarks of Northwest Arkansas, out in the country, 25 miles from any large city. Out here in the country, we struggle to get good internet. Maybe you have the same problem. If you live in a rural area, you don't have many options. It's either satellite or DSL or cellular. And believe me, we've tried them all. Just recently, I was more than happy to pay the penalty to get out of our satellite service. Latency was horrible, and for amateur radio communications, the delays were up to 5 seconds, and you probably experienced what that's like. Our DSL service was also very unreliable. We rarely got the speeds that we were promised, and it kept dropping out. But now I think I found a service that we're going to love. It's called Visible.com. It's a company that's owned by Verizon and kind of a pared-back service, but works beautifully for my situation here out in the country on 15 acres. Visible.com offers only one plan. It's unlimited everything. Unlimited calls, text, and internet at slightly slower speeds than their top drawer plan at Verizon. But it does use the Verizon network. Go to Visible.com and use my referral code 3NOVEMBER37NOVEMBERTANGO. Also, to get your $40 a month bill reduced to $25, you need to be part of a party pay group. You can join me in our Digicom Cafe party. You will find the link to these things down in the show notes here, along with links to our Digicom Cafe community portal, which is a Facebook alternative. Also, our Telegram community, where we have text and voice chat, and also our live cafe cast here in the Digicom Cafe. So get your line at visible.com. And again, use my referral code and join our party to get that bill down to $25 a month.
Thank you for listening to this Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast. We invite you to join our Mighty Networks amateur radio community at members.digicomcafe.com.